All right. If you have your Bibles, taken open up to 1 Corinthians. I was enjoying the music. Thought we had one more coming. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I know it is a very familiar chapter. We oftentimes hear this in conjunctions with marriages and different things. I want to look at it this morning in an aspect as Paul wrote this, speaking about love or charity. Depending on the translation, they're the same. But what does that mean to you and I? And the title of the message is Our Essence. John tells us that God is love. And therefore, if we belong to Him, that means that we must be that love. And in that aspect, looking at this verse as we go through it, reading it this morning, where these things come to play and talk about what love is, put your name in front of it. You know, it's easy for us to tell others. It's another when we walk and live it every day that they see it rather than just hear it. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse 1, invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's Word. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, and I give my body to be a burden, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long, and it is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in the iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. You may be seated. As I said, John tells us in the very first book that God is love. And this was one of the primary. When we look back at the first commandment that Moses was given in Exodus 20, the first thing that God has as the first commandment is that we shall love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our might. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus again is asked, by the knowledge of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, those who have the great theology knowledge, they ask him, what is the greatest commandment? And in Matthew 22:37, Jesus replied and said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the first commandment. And the great commandment. And the sound and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And the centerpiece is love. In the book of Revelations, when he's talking to the seven churches, He comes to the church and he says, you have lost your first love. So that love that is resounding, and you know I've told you many times before, I always remembered in school when the teacher said something more than once or banged on the desk, that was something I was probably going to need to pay attention to. I would see it again on a test. God in his infinite wisdom puts love in front of you and I every single time, every day. And he also tells us in his word over and over again about love. Not a physical love, not a love that's just, you know, it's easy to love those that are kind to us and those folks that we like, and it's the strangers. It's the ones that actually we probably don't like, we'd just soon not be around or associate with, but yet Jesus tells us that we should love. There in Corinthians, notice it says when, at the very last verse, it tells us, but that which is perfect has come. We know there's only been one who has ever been perfect. And the parts and the pieces that we miss. And so we look at, well, Christ had already come. But if you look at that and what he's saying, when that which is perfect comes, all of the parts and the pieces, they fall into line. I see that as when Jesus comes into our life, we no longer have part, we have everything. Everything you and I need. He is taking care of the fact that we no longer are separated by sin. He was willing to take that all upon himself. Why? Because of love. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that whosoever, it is out of his love that you and I have the gift of Jesus Christ. It is out of Jesus's love. He tells us that he will send us the Comforter, and we know that the Holy Spirit comes. Connie gave a testimony a while ago about being plagued. Many of you have had that before. I've experienced that, where you can't put your finger on it, you can't express it. There's just something that you have an unrest. And sure enough, you begin to see things transpire. And thankfully, that Spirit is telling you, don't be afraid of it, but ask the Lord, and he takes care of it. That's kind of the one of the latest most examples, but we see that over and over again, and oftentimes even when we're not paying attention, it is there. Last Sunday we talked about specifically listening and hearing the voice of God, taking that time to actually listen to what he's speaking about. And what we see over here is this is the love of what it is. He tells us first, and what it is like to have all of these different gifts, but if we have love, he tells us we have nothing. It profits us nothing. We look down, though, into the beginning there in verse 4. He begins to take the attributes. And so as I said a while ago, as we read that, think about it for a minute. Basically, if you take those attributes and line it up and put your name in there, I'll put mine first. It says, Stacy is patient with those who are frustrating. I got to admit, I got to work on that one. I'll be honest, first thought comes to my head is you can't fix stupid. That ain't being loving. And so that's an area I have to work on that I see. But, you know, with that same philosophy, I turned that around. You can't fix stupid. I question myself, well, what does God think about you when you pull boneheaded things? Jesus said we are to love our Lord, and in turn we're to love others. Love one another as we love ourselves. You see, that is the essence of you and I that should be on display every day to those who we're around. It's one thing to say we're a Christian. It's another to emulate Jesus Christ. Don't get me wrong, I'm not bashing you because I got my own problems I got to fix. He next says, Stacy is kind to those who are cruel. Yeah, well, You already know my first reaction to that. Eye for an eye. You give me a hit, I give you a hit back. Right? That's not what our Lord taught. He was asked that specifically. He said, the man strikes you. And Jesus said, you turn the other cheek. He said, well, how many times do I turn my cheek? And he said, 70 times 7. Lose count. Yeah. Some of us can't count two in here, right? Myself included. Stacy doesn't envy those who have what we want. Doesn't envy. Stacy protects those who are weak. Our world takes advantage of the weak. Whether it's young or old or anywhere in between. But love takes care of those who can't care for themselves. Stacy trusts those who are unworthy. Boy, I got a big problem with that, right? I'll be the first to admit, every time I hire somebody, I tell them my expectations. But I always tell them, you lie to me, you're done. You're fired. Because I no longer trust you. And we use that. Also, by God gives us a brain in order to be aware of things. But yet, those who cross, in other words, you have to be willing to forgive and see if there's an opportunity for them to love, to change in their manner as well. We go through here and it says, Stacy hopes for the hopeless. There's so many hopeless in our world today. You know, one of the big things is about homeless people. We may not like what it looks like in our towns, our cities, or around. Or we think, well, you know, you could do a little bit to help for yourself. That's true. But each and every one of us need a helping hand every now and then. If nothing more, for somebody to lift us up and say, you can do this. We have to work at trying to help others to be able that they can function. It says, love perseveres. So Stacy perseveres for the faithless. I think y'all are getting the point how real the scripture becomes in our everyday lives and what we do. Stacy loves with love that never fails. Really begins to make me think. As I said, you know, sometimes we love because of the circumstances, the conditions at the moment. What happens when those conditions and those moments aren't on the top of the mountain, but they're in the low of the valley? Or it makes it difficult for you and I to even have the desire to love. Love always comes first in everything. Paul was inspired by the Spirit to write this and give us the idea that it doesn't provoke, it doesn't rejoice in iniquity, but yet in truth. What he gleans for us here that he speaks of is exactly what Paul of all, because as he wrote this, I'm sure it was a point, even as me or some of you, as the Lord deals with us about things in Paul's past when he was Saul, of the persecutions that he did, and yet he was unwilling at that time to accept or to be patient or to love. And yet here's the Spirit teaching him along with you and I of those things that we need. John chapter 13 in verse 34, Jesus reminds us again as he speaks and he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. We've heard that before, but notice the rest of the verse. That you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Boy, when I think about that, He loved me enough to die on a cross. He loved you enough to die on a cross. He says, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. I said before, being a Christian is a proactive and active occupation. It's not passive. Unfortunately, there are many Christians that have done exactly that. They became passive. They become comfortable in the pew. They like going to my church and do these things rather than being active. And we have a world that displays that. We have a world across the board that displays a world without love. In the Old Testament, prior to Christ being born, the last 400 years, there were no prophets. They did not hear from God. Prophecy going forward of what we see, there will be a time that God will allow Satan to have his way with the world. They'll be absent. There's no love. Mike read this morning on the scripture reading. He said, men become lovers of themselves. There's no others involved in what he read. We become self-contained. Don't let that be true of me and you. To be disciples, to be ambassadors, to be showing constantly every day through what we do, what we speak. Not that we just say it, but they see Jesus Christ living and loving through us. I pray we never lose our first love, which is Jesus Christ. Pretty short this morning. I invite you to bow your head. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, you teach us to love, and it is out of your love that we have the privilege to be able to come to you and bring you our prayer requests, bring you our praises. Lord, even the fact that we can come to you is out of your love for us. For without that love, your Son would not have taken our place. He would have not been the sacrifice that we might call you our Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray you give each and every one of us the courage, the boldness to step out and follow his example, your example, Lord, to love one another. We know that starts by loving you. That's always the most important, that we get ourselves right with you. And you impart us that love, to love others that we through our own flesh could not love. How great is your love. Thank you, Lord, for the love that you bestowed upon us. Through that love, you grant us your mercy, your grace. And thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that is always there to guide us and to teach us, for the inspired word that your Spirit has given, that we might have it as a roadmap, a guideline of how our lives should be lived to honor and glorify you. And in turn, let others see the love you have, just as your word says, for the entire world. No one is exempt from your love. Father, I thank you for each one here this morning, for the time that we've had, for Danny and Debbie, the music, the spirit, Lord, that you've allowed to reside in this church, in this body of believers. We love you and we praise you. It is in Jesus' name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Thank all of you for coming.